Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. A lot of football talk today. Jeff Monroe, MSU athletics trainer. Amp Campbell, Western Michigan secondary coach, and they were both talking about the career-ending injury to Josh Rouse. Want to welcome in Michigan State quarterback, the most efficient quarterback in Spartan history, and second-year captain, junior Kirk Cousins joins us. Hello, Kirk.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Just fine. I want to talk to you a little bit first about your teammate, the guy who lined up right behind you, and someone I think most Michigan State players had a tremendous amount of respect for, fifth-year senior fullback Josh Rouse. You want to talk a little bit about him, what makes him special, and what's going to happen now with this injury?
Absolutely. Obviously, it was a tough injury to take, one that we're very thankful wasn't more serious. It could have resulted in paralysis, is what we've been told, but obviously a very serious injury nonetheless. And he had surgery this morning, and apparently the news I've heard is that it went very well, and he will now just be in a neck brace, and he'll need to recover, and that'll take a matter of a couple months. But the bone will be able to now heal back together, and then he'll be able to go on with life as usual when that's all recovered. But obviously quite a shock to our team and to him and his family, and we're going to be praying for him, and he'll be in our thoughts and prayers all season. But it's going to be tough not having him at fullback because he was a great leader on this team, a great example for the guys to follow, and really kept the energy up. But we're going to need to find strength from seeing him on the sidelines during games and try to rally around this.
Could you imagine the psychology of preparing so hard for your fifth season, especially with what people think this season could be for Michigan State, and then to have it all be snuffed out in basically just a head-to-ground collision?
Yeah, it's very difficult, especially it wasn't after a matter of games. It was after a matter of minutes. I mean, he had only played a couple plays, and it happened. And actually, he's a sixth-year senior. He got injured last year in his fifth year during two-a-days, and so had to sit out all last year as well and came back for his sixth year with the hope of being able to finish out his career the right way. And then this injury happens, and so it is very tough to take. It's hard to even imagine what's going through Josh's mind, but from every time I've talked to him, I visited him in the hospital after the game, and he texted me today, and we talked. But he's very upbeat, very positive, asking us to just move on, not worry about him, and to just keep pushing and beat Florida Atlantic. And that's the kind of guy that Josh is, and he doesn't want people to worry too much about him. But with the seriousness of the injury, you can't help it but think about him and pray for him.
Kirk Cousins, our guest, Michigan State quarterback and second-year captain. Kirk, we just spoke with Amp Campbell, and he went through something even more traumatic in terms of the severity of the injury. But one of the most moving moments in the history of Spartan Stadium, the week after he was hurt, he made his way to the center of the field as a game captain with the halo and screw sticking out of his head before the Notre Dame game. And a Michigan State team that was 0-2 suddenly was ahead of Notre Dame 42-3 at the half. So if there's anything to be taken from this, I'm sure Josh Rouse would want all of the players to rally in his behalf, and I'm sure he'll want to be involved with this program in any way he can.
Absolutely. Josh would want nothing more than for this team to go on and have a special year. And he's going to be, here when he can be at practices, and he'll obviously be on the sidelines at games and cheering us on as best as he can. And, we're going to look to him for strength. He's still going to help lead us a great deal this fall, and we'll try to rally around him, and he'll definitely be there to support us. And we're hoping we can still have a great season.
Kirk, everyone knows how important quarterbacks are. They have the ball in their hands on every offensive play. How important are captains?
Well, I think sometimes captain can just be a title, and other times it really means something. I think most teams tend to have the captains, just everybody's system for selecting them and how often they serve as captains varies. But ultimately, every team has to have leaders, and whether they're given the title of a captain or not, you need to have leaders. You need to have guys who, when things start to go south, can grab other people and pull them together and get things going back in the right direction, and can sort of steer the ship, if you will, and be a voice for the coaches to the team as peers. And whether those guys are given a title captain or not, and oftentimes they aren't, but the guys who are the leaders in the team, the players know who they are, and oftentimes they vote a captain. But players know who the leaders are and follow them. And when your leaders are doing a great job on the field and off the field, then you tend to have that special type of year.
A lot of people made note of the way last year ended with a couple losses and, of course, the Rather Hall incident, that leadership was lacking on that team. How has this team learned from that, and how has the leadership changed?
Well, obviously, you're going to learn from your mistakes, and obviously there were some mistakes that were made, and guys have matured and grown up and learned from them, and those that have been given a second chance have understood that they need to make some improvements, and they've done that. And there's been a tremendous change in attitude. And it was somewhat of a strange incident that a lot of guys on the team weren't even aware of, and sort of was under the radar. And as a result, it occurred. I assure you that if the main leaders in the team had even known about it, it would not have happened. But they didn't, and as a result, it happened. But we just used it to rally together. Obviously, there were a lot of shots being thrown at Michigan State football, and when that tends to happen, you begin to circle the wagons and sort of get the people who are really in the football building and know what's going on, try to all stick together and grow together, and that's what we've done.
One of the things that was said about this team last year was it couldn't run the football when it had to, and it certainly looked like the running game has improved based on Saturday's performance, and now you've got even more quality depth in the backfield. Certainly the debut of Le'Veon Bell, pretty impressive, but as a quarterback, how much does it help you to know that you've got that kind of running game behind you?
Well, a quarterback's only as good as the guys around him, so I'm not going to have any success if we're not running the football and if our offensive line isn't doing a great job both with the run and the pass. And obviously our running game is what can set up our play-action pass and open up our passing game. So if we're going to run the football like we did this past Saturday against Western, if we're going to continue to do that, then we're going to have a great season offensively, and everything will sort of flow from our run game. So obviously, some days the running game isn't going to be there, and there are going to be some third and shorts that we may not get. But that's where we have to bounce back, and then I'm going to have to make some plays in the air, whether we're running the ball or not. I'm going to have to be able to make plays throwing the football.
Kirk, you've always had exceptional maturity, but it was really until your third year that you saw a lot of time on the field. Can you understand what Le'Veon Bell must have been going through Saturday here? He's barely been to class, and he's out there scoring touchdowns, and he's a hero in front of 75,000 people.
Well, while it was his first game, it was sort of a different type of first game because he had enrolled early and was here all spring.
Right.
And so he went through 15 spring practices and played in our spring game and was here all summer training and went through all of camp. So it wasn't any surprise to us on the team, the success he had on Saturday. Obviously, the fans hadn't seen him perform, but to us, it wasn't a surprise. But you forget, after how long he's been here, you forget that that was his first game, and he had never suited up in Spartan Stadium in front of 75,000 and played. And I can remember my first game as a redshirt and being nowhere near ready to play. So it's exciting to see a guy like Le'Veon step in there and make the plays he did, and obviously we're going to need him to continue to do that this season.
Kirk Cousins, Michigan State quarterback and second-year captain, our guest on Ebling and You. Kirk, we think back to last year's opener, and there was uncertainty at the quarterback position, you and Keith Nichol competing, and it was a lot of fun to see you throwing a touchdown pass to him. Can you talk about his adjustment and what he brings to this team as a receiver?
Well, it's been a long process to develop him from a top-level quarterback to a top-level wide receiver, and I think he showed on Saturday that he's made that adjustment very well. But when you look back at December when he first started trying to learn the position, there's a lot of nuances to go from quarterback to wide receiver, especially at this level. And all spring ball, he kept working at it. Even in the winter, by himself in our indoor facility, he kept working on it, and all summer. And you could see him gradually improving. And by the end of the summer, when we started fall camp, it was very exciting to see where he had gotten to. And obviously he showed on Saturday the kind of plays he can make. So I think he's only going to continue to get better. I think you've only seen the tip of the iceberg as far as the talent that's there for him at wide receiver. And time will tell, how good of a receiver he can become. But obviously we're trying to work him into the game plan and get him with his hands on the football so he can make plays for us.
Kirk, he had that leaping grab in the end zone, but he had a couple of other plays that I couldn't help but chuckle at on some of the sweeps. And he was determined that he was going to drive that cornerback into the ground for a pancake block.
Yeah, his blocking is exceptional, and that's something that he takes great pride in. And he wants to be a top-tier blocker. And with his frame and strength and size, he's very capable of being a great blocker. So I think that's something you'll continue to see from him is his blocking ability. And when a guy takes pride in that part of his game, it's going to show. And I think that all of our receivers do a great job with their downfield blocking, and that's what often can free up a Le'Veon Bell or an Edwin Baker to spring a great run.
Michigan State, a 38-14 winner over Western Michigan in the opener Saturday, and now heads down to Detroit to face Florida Atlantic. Sounds odd to think that Michigan State's going to be wearing white uniforms in Detroit and Florida Atlantic will be the home team, but I guess that beats the long 1,500-mile ride to Florida and then the trip back Saturday night.
Oh, absolutely. We're glad to be able to play in front of our fans in Detroit, and I hope the Spartan Nation will travel well across the state over to Detroit. And to get a new exciting venue like Ford Field will be a great place to play. But obviously, to play in that stadium will be a good opportunity for us. And when you consider the fact that it's an away game, it's a very favorable situation. So, you know, we'll be ready. Obviously, Florida Atlantic will be ready. You know, we expect them to be a very athletic and very tough team as far as how hard they play. And, you know, we expect a great game out of them.
What's the difference for a quarterback playing in a facility like Ford Field, especially in light of all the wind that you had to put up with Saturday?
Yeah, the wind obviously won't be a factor. The Alamo Bowl last year was my first experience of playing inside a dome, and it makes it somewhat easy to throw the football inside a dome. So I'm expecting that to be a great help for the passing games of both teams and for the kickers and punters of both teams with no wind. So that should enhance the offense of the game for both teams. And the field turf, you know, will be a little different than what we play on as far as stadium. But all in all, football is football, and, you know, the wind, whether wind or field turf or dome or whatever it may be, you know, we'll be just fine.
Kirk, when you look at your sophomore year and the best sophomore year any Michigan State quarterback has ever had, did you dedicate yourself to one specific area for improvement?
Not one specific area. I think there were a variety of areas I needed to improve, a variety of areas that I could have helped our team more last year. And I think you constantly improve in your decision-making. I don't think you've ever arrived where you know the offense so well that you don't need to constantly be in the film room and continue to grow as far as your decision-making and your reading of coverages. I think even the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Mannings are trying to continue to get better at that. So that's something I'll always pursue pretty heavily is my ability to read defenses and coverages and make good decisions with the football. But also my footwork, fundamentally, I needed to improve and just continue to develop relationships with these guys off the field and sort of strengthen the team chemistry, which I think we did a good job of doing in our offseason.
Scott, one thing I want to point out about Kirk Cousins, Michigan State had 11 penalties Saturday and had a bunch of drop passes, and I have never, ever, ever heard this guy make excuses or blame a teammate or point to someone for a drop pass or upstage him. And maybe that's part of the definition of leadership. Kirk, congratulations on the big win in the debut, and I look forward to a very interesting and successful season for Michigan State.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jack. Appreciate it.
We will be back with our final segment, a lot more to talk about. And sorry that we were not able to have Andy with us, Andy Brancato, and maybe we can reschedule her from the Michigan Lottery Commission. With that new game debuting today, maybe we'll have a chance to talk with her a little bit later. We will be right back in just a couple of moments with our final segment. Jack Ebling and Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.